This is Mick Warhurst on ABC Radio.
Happy Sad Man is a brand new doco which allows us into the lives of five men and explores masculinity, mental health here in Australia. It's just a beautiful documentary. It's enlightening, uplifting, and to be frank, it feels really important and timely as more and more the stigma of mental health is lifting as well. Director Genevieve Bailey is here and one of the doco subjects, David Capra, both here to share what it was like to tell their stories. Hello.
We got you
on mic now, Genevieve. Hello.
Hi, Miff. Thanks for having us.
Genevieve, let's start with you. What inspired you to want to do this?
Yeah, I finished making my last film, I'm 11, and was thinking, what should I make next? And I was thinking about the really interesting men in my life and how we don't typically see these sort of guys on our screens. And I feel like, as you've just mentioned, mental health is becoming more spoken about. But there's some really damaging like stereotypes around masculinity. And I thought, well, I have so many interesting guys in my life, particularly my friend Johnny, who is at once the happiest and saddest man I've ever met. And I thought, I really want to make a film that explores happiness and sadness through the eyes of different guys in Australia.
Yeah, well, Johnny was the inspiration for this, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You made a short documentary about him a couple of years back. How does he feel about being the step-off point for such a documentary? He's sort of a middle-aged bloke who has had many struggles over his life but continues to remain happy mostly.
Yeah, I kind of laugh at the idea of trying to sum up John. He's very hard to describe, and that's why I ended up making a film about him over 7 years. But John's in his early 70s, born here in Melbourne and has travelled all over Australia, and he's most comfortable now in the bush growing veggies. And he lives with bipolar, so he experiences very high highs and also very low lows over a prolonged period of time. So when I became friends with him, I was in film school and people used to say, is that your dad? I'm like, no, it's just my friend. And I'm really interested in friendship and what connects us to people. And when I saw John going through difficult times, I always wondered, how can I better be there for him? And I think many of us, lots of people listening, would know someone who has their ups and downs, and how can you really lean in and be there for them? And that's why I was inspired to make Happy Sad Man.
Yeah, and David, you're in the film as well. How did you get involved in this? Had you and Genevieve known each other beforehand?
Yes, we have. I remember we were very fresh-faced. I guess we're in our 20s, and we've been friends ever since. And one day Genevieve had finished her film I Am 11, and one day Genevieve just pulled out her camera and I was like, oh, okay,
we're doing that camera now.
and it just kind of evolved over 7 years. I mean, it's actually been a big part of my life for a long time, and it's quite been an incredible thing to see it on screen for me.
And it tells your story of your art making and your art practice and also your battle with anxiety. How important for you was it to share this stuff?
Well, I think it was something that I never intended to. I mean, if you look at my work, it's sort of, people might think I'm some sort of clown in some respect. I really do sort of explore what it means to be happy. And I guess I'm not as public with my being sad. So it's been an interesting experience to show that to people. But it's also been really enriching because of the response that I've had, particularly just going to screenings. Some men come up to me and they don't even exchange words. It's just one big hug, and it's people seem so grateful for the film.
Your art, you mentioned it then, it strives to find joy and happiness. Tell us about Tina's bath time and also Tina's cologne that you've made for your dog, Tina.
That's right. So Tina is my dachshund. We've been working together for about 6, 7, 8 years now. I've lost count. And Tina is quite cautious of the world, and it's been something that I've really related to. We were invited by the Museum of Contemporary Art here in Sydney a few years ago to create a room for specifically to visitors that visit the museum that identify with having a disability. So we thought about all these sensory aspects to the world, and I made a big zigzagging sculpture of Tina. You could give her a hug, you could give her a little make-believe bath, because Tina doesn't quite like bath time, but with our help, she'll be just fine. That was the line that we kept using. So it was amazing. You never really know how an audience is going to respond to the work you make. And people really responded to Tina's bath time anxiety. So the work became about mental health, surprisingly to myself. And I sort of just tried to continue that in the work that I make. Recently, we're at the Art Gallery New South Wales with Caldor Projects, making a work in response to Jeff Koons's Puppy, which was here in Sydney in the 90s. Yeah. And Jeff talks about Puppy, about being about love and happiness. So we've made this big structure of Tina that people come and contribute and write messages of love and happiness to in these little floral paper cutouts. And it's amazing. I mean, it sort of feels like some sort of strange TV set, the work, but the space just opens people up, and some people stay and talk with us. It's something about Tina; she's very charismatic. Mm. They give her a pat, and people open up. So it kind of seems that my work is sort of pursuing those real experiences in the world.
David Capra is with me. He's an artist, and one of the subjects in Genevieve Bailey's new documentary, Happy Sad Man. It's very much about men opening up, and I imagine Genevieve trying to get people's trust to do this documentary. Was that easy? How did you find your subjects? How did you get them to trust you to know that you'd be careful with these stories? Because these stories aren't necessarily easy stories to tell and even easy stories to hear.
Yeah, I saw it as a great responsibility and honour to be able to gain the trust from these guys. And some psychiatrists and psychologists who have seen the film recently asked me just that: how did you make them so comfortable? And I always see my job as a director is to make sure whoever's in front of my camera feels like themselves and they're comfortable. And it's a bit hard. Like my best friend Poppy says, oh, it's hard to summarise how you do that. But it's just a big part of how I am, is not looking up or down at people, just trying to look at people and without judgment, and to give people the space to share things without feeling like you're going to correct them or try and fix, you know, their problems. And I think that's, like, as David just said, a big part of my work is also trying to focus on the joy and the hope. And so with Happy Sad Man, even though there are darker moments that the men share with me in trust, they all had the same vision that they want this film to have a positive impact on audiences and to promote much healthier conversations.
I get it now, you here in person, and I certainly got it from the film, but you do definitely exude a sense of being very present, and I feel like that's something you've learnt from one of the characters in the film. And yeah. I call him a character because he is a character.
Yeah, I think Johnny has an amazing way with words, and he's very articulate, and when he describes people, if he was to meet you, Miff, he'd walk away and have a really great way of summing up who you are. Yeah. And so I remember saying to John once, when he was talking about someone in a little bit of a negative way, I said, gosh, I wonder what you say about me when I'm not around, Johnny. And John was with our music composer, who's also a friend, Nick Huggins. And Nick rang me and said, you know how you always wonder what John would say about you when you're not around? Well, he was over today and they were doing something around the house. And he said, when Jen Bailey leaves the house, she's with everyone. And I thought, that is kind of true. And I feel like that's part of my nature, but it's also what I have in common with John, because John and I are very different people in lots of ways. But we both like being with people and talking to strangers and having conversations you might not normally have. And so I think that's a big part of my filmmaking, is having conversations, whether it's with 11-year-olds on the other side of the world or whether it's with 80-year-old farmers in Shepparton,
yeah,
like just opening up those conversations.
The doco's Happy Sad Man. We should listen to some audio from it right now.
What do you want to ask?
What do you want to tell?
When I think of masculinity, I often think about a weight of having to be a particular way. I don't know if it gives you the freedom to be yourself.
What guys will do, they'll make sure the car's right, they'll make sure the plumbing's right on the shed, they'll do all that stuff, but they don't do anything for themselves.
I'm so much happier in conflict zones than I am actually being in normal society.
It seemed like I've just had this fun kind of life, but when things went real bad, I'd lost all sense of reality.
If you met 25-year-old John Anderson, would you hang out with him?
Well, that's a good question for anyone, isn't it? Would you hang out with yourself?
When I'm up, I'm so bulletproof.
But when you're down, you can actually see what you're doing in it. And that's depressing. I walk alone.
from the new documentary Happy Sad Man, which is all about exploring not just mental health issues, but also ideas of masculinity. And it's directed by Genevieve Bailey, who's with me, and David Capra, who's one of the main characters in the film. And I'm calling you all characters because you're all just lovely and endearing on screen, I have to say. Genevieve, one of my favourite parts of the doco is when the farmer Ivan, who you heard then saying, you know, we look after our cars, we look after our tractors and our property, and yet we don't ever find time to look after ourselves. He's just fantastic. He strives to help families affected by the drought, and you go along to one of his men's sheds. Can you tell us what happened then and what you learnt from that experience?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a city girl, and turning up to a men's shed in the country, it's a man cave. So I was aware that not everyone's going to be comfortable talking to me. But I went with Ivan, and he's got a real way in the community at engaging with people. And an older guy in his 86 came up to me, and I was sort of on my way into the room, and he said, "Hey, with this depression business, how do you know if you've got it?" And I quickly, my main thing was I better get him in touch with Ivan, because I actually said, "Do you mind if I attach this a microphone to you?" And then I said, "Well, do you know some of the symptoms?" And he just said, he scratched his head literally and said, "Well, I don't know. That's what I mean. How do you know if you're depressed?" And then I sort of started to talk to him about some of the symptoms and said, "Can I connect with Ivan?" And then I shot that scene where Ivan and Doug are chatting, and he opens up about his wife passing away and his feelings of depression. And Ivan said, "Have you told anyone about it?" He said, no, I haven't told anyone. And a lot of younger audiences have commented to me when they see Happy Sad Man that it was so sad to see someone 86 wondering what depression is and if that's what they're going through. Mm. But I think, you know, loneliness is something that we can experience at any age. And it's something that I feel really passionate about talking about, because it has a huge impact on our lives when we feel isolated and alone.
It really does. And watching those two blokes just sitting down and having a really frank discussion about depression, it proved to me that it can be done regardless of your background. And even if it's taken you 86 years to be able to bring it up, it was amazing. It's an amazing moment.
I'm so glad. And I think audiences often comment on different moments that resonate with them. There's a scene in the film where John says when he was down, someone asked him, "Do you want a cup of tea?" And he said, "Well, I just broke into tears because I thought, yeah. Do I want a cup of tea? Do I not want a cup of tea?" Mm. And I think all those moments are really special to share. And for me, a guy in a kebab shop in Melbourne saw Jake and I. Jake's from the film. He's a war photographer who's been based in Syria and Afghanistan for much of the last 10 years. And he recognised us and came up and said, "I just cried so much when I watched the film." And he hugged Jake and he said, "It made me realise it's okay to be a sensitive guy." And that sounds like a simple statement, but that is huge. For a lot of people, they need permission to know it's okay to not feel okay all the time.
Absolutely.
And that's where I think the power lies in Happy Sad Man, is reminding people, like Grant in the film is a surfer, and he's very passionate about talking about not having to be okay all the time. And I love that he is able to articulate this. He says, telling someone who's feeling down that they should be grateful for what they've got, you've got a good family, you've got a good job, is like saying to someone who's happy, "Well, you shouldn't be so happy. There's people who are better off than you."
Yeah,
I thought that was such a powerful way of summing it up. But sometimes, like I say, those awkward moments, you don't know what to do, how to be there for someone, so you don't do anything. And that's when people, you know, can feel alone, and we worry about, you know, those awkward conversations that need to be had sometimes.
Yeah. Back to you, David. What was it like seeing your story and the stories of others in this?
What was it like? It was confronting. It was also quite amazing to see people respond to just what I do every day. You know, I've been thinking a lot about anxiety since watching the film, and I'm trying to unpick it. You know, is this going to define me forever, or is it something, you know, it's something that I've had to embrace. And I've been thinking about, well, where did it come from? And I thought about little David. You know, little David was brought up by, spent a lot of time with my Ukrainian grandmother, who was a war survivor, and taken from her home in the Ukraine, and would tell me daily about stories of seeing Hitler speak and working in war camps and all the trauma that that it comes with. And then I also think of my grandfather on my other side, who lived in Italy, in northern Italy, and who hid from mountain police in a well for 6 months.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Stories of these. So these really were, this really occupied my psyche as a child. And it's made me really reflect on, you know, why I make art. I mean, I used to retreat into film. I was really obsessed with The Wizard of Oz. I really identified with the Cowardly Lion, who, you know, basically went down the yellow brick road fearful. Like, that was his approach to the world. And I took The Wizard of Oz very seriously. I became a member of it, a member of the International Wizard of Oz Club as a kid. And I guess tried as a child to recreate what I saw on screen, and that's what I do as an adult. So seeing myself on screen has made me really feel reflective, I guess. And yeah.
You made a comment in the documentary and it really spoke to me, and I'm sure many of other people who have experienced anxiety in their lives. You said that the words, "anxiety becomes such a part of your life, you forget what it is."
That's right.
And that really spoke to me. It was quite powerful. It's like, yeah, that makes absolute sense. When you said that, like, do you feel like you've been able to say that and then overcome it in a way?
I think so. I feel like in some way, I mean, your relationship to yourself and everything, the world around you, it changes and it morphs. And my relationship to anxiety has changed. I feel like in some way that I feel like I'm on a different plane, a different edge of it. I still manage it every day. But I remember at one point I was just anxious about the idea of being anxious, and it just built itself on top of it. You know, and it was actually something that brought a lot of fear into my life. And so, I don't experience that so much now. So, yeah.
Good on you. That's good to hear. That's really great news. Genevieve, with the documentary Happy Sad Men, what did you learn about men, about vulnerability, about mental health? What do you take away from all of this?
I actually get quite emotional. I love listening to David talk.
I know.
He's one of the best voices in the world. And I'm always saying to David,
Jen,
when the film screens, he immediately attracts fans. People love David.
Yeah.
Grant, Ivan, Johnny and Jake, these guys are legends. And I think what I learned is that when you're brave enough and strong enough and courageous enough to show your real self and to be authentic and to be vulnerable at times, people really respond to that. Audiences, as David said, they come up, they hug the guys, they want to hug me. And I feel like, you know, what's exciting about now taking Happy Sad Man around Australia is that we're going to travel with it, not just to metro, you know, capital cities, but to regional areas, and show this film to people and remind people that we are much more similar than we might look sometimes. And so what I've learned is, for men and women, that when men's mental health and stereotypes around masculinity and this whole idea of man up, I hate that expression. I just think it doesn't serve anyone. I think when men's mental health is shoved under the carpet, we have statistics in Australia that show that men are much less likely to seek help and unfortunately more likely to end their own lives. And I think that conversations like this in Happy Sad Man remind us that things are getting better, but there's a long way to go. And I think for me, I'm just really proud that we've been able to make this film that makes people really feel a lot.
Yeah.
And I think reality TV, you see so much content out there, and it's just like, what are we absorbing? Like, what's really getting to us? And I feel really proud that these stories can remind people that men and women and children all suffer when our mental health is ignored. And when we're actually able to be there for each other, everyone in the community benefits, all genders and all age groups.
Well, it's a wonderful documentary. It is called Happy Sad Man, and it will be screening around the country. It's getting a release, selected cinemas, from October 31st, all over the place. But it's probably the best way to go if you want to catch this documentary, because, as Genevieve just said, going to regional areas as well, happysadman.org, and you can meet some of the great characters as well, including David, who's been with us today.